be preaching about joy this morning, and I'm going to use that as an acrostic today. Acrostic as J-O-Y is going to be our points of my sermon here today. And we read a couple scriptures here today. We read Luke chapter 2, and I'm not going to read it all, but it says there in verse 10. I don't know if you can follow me there, Daniela, with these scriptures. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" And in verse 13, it says, "Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God.'" Hallelujah. Amen. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." I hope today you're one of those individuals that his favor is upon. If you belong to him, guess what? His favor is upon your life. And verse 20 says, "The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him." So we see in these two stories, we see the shepherds and we see the wise men, both what? Rejoicing. Their hearts were filled with joy over the fact that the Messiah had come. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was given to mankind. So we're going to start today. We're going to start with the J, which stands for Jesus. All right. So that's very easy here this morning. So joy is a word that describes this season. It's a much anticipated season. I don't think so just for the kids, but I think even as adults, it's something we look forward to. There's just something exciting about that time of year. It's just a festive season. It's a time when people begin to look heavenward. If they haven't looked heavenward all year long, it's at this time of the year. But how many know that this season is about Jesus, right? It's about Jesus. No matter how we get our panties in a wad over all the things that are going in the world today, oh, they're saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas, right? Us Christians, we get our panties in a wad. We fuss over, oh, they're taking Jesus out of everything. But I want to tell you that Jesus is everywhere. You turn on the radio at this time of year. You walk into a store. It doesn't matter what kind of store. Guess what they're playing? They're playing Christmas music. Not just Jingle Bells and Frosty the Snowman, but they're singing hymns. Amen? They're singing about our Lord Jesus Christ. And so whether they're actually tuning into it or it's just in the background, guess what? God's word is being planted. Isn't that exciting that we are without reason for not knowing what the season is about because Jesus is Lord? And they are proclaiming the gospel by playing that music. So God is giving us our yearly reminder of how he is planting seeds in the hearts of people of the good news. The good news that Jesus Christ has come to the earth. Whether they accept it or not, that's up to them at this point. But they are hearing the good news. So Jesus is the embodiment of joy. You can't separate one from the other. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It must be of some importance because it's listed number 2 in the list. Love, joy, peace. So it must be very important, or at least in my sermon it's important because I'm saying it's important. It's up at the top of the list right after love. So it must be something that God wants us to experience in our life. And so I hope this morning that you have experienced that joy in your life. And if you have never experienced joy, you've never experienced Jesus, because Jesus and joy go together. And so the angel appeared to the shepherds and said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Cause. Good news. Good news always causes joy, doesn't it? Amen. We've had some new babies around this place. And, you know, for those families, that is a joy. Amen. You know, so we are telling the story of the good news of Jesus Christ. Babies are always good news. And so the good news in that day, in verse 10, was that Jesus came to the earth. The Messiah was born. The Son of God came to earth. So the good news caused great joy, not just for the people of that day, but it says for all people. You see that? I highlighted that for you so you understand that. All people of every generation. It's good news, and it creates joy within us as believers today. When the wise men found Jesus in the Bible, it says they were overjoyed. Overjoyed. I don't know if you've ever been overjoyed. Some of us are struggling just with joy. But it says they were overjoyed. It means their experience was over the top. They were exuberant. They were pumped. They were elated. They were jubilant. They were delighted. Woo! A lot of good stuff was going on. But today, as the church, sometimes we get overjoyed. Meaning we get beyond joy. We lose joy. Right? The season sometimes brings a lot of activities, and we become more busy than we do any other time of the year. And it's a distraction. Sometimes there is loss in the lives of people during the holidays. We have a family member that lost their son on Christmas Day. Can you imagine celebrating Christmas with that hanging over your head? There's loneliness. How many know that this is the time of year when most people commit suicide? The holiday's been hijacked, church, by the devil. It's a time of season when guilt is kind of handed out free-handed. You know, those guilt gifts. Somebody gives you a gift and you feel guilty, so you think you have to give them a gift back. Or, you know, there's not enough under the tree for our kids, so we got to get them more. It's a time of indebtedness for most people, right? You see, we're not overjoyed like they were, right? We get over it. We lose our joy instead of experiencing it. I don't know how many of you, I won't ask men if you watch Hallmark movies, but it's during the holiday season that what happens is there is a loss of joy for the season no matter what. Some had a bad upbringing. Some of them had loss of a loved one. Whatever with the scenarios. I mean, you've seen five, you've seen them all, right? There's only five themes, all right? And men, if you come up to me and say, hey, come on over and make gingerbread houses, I'll slap you, all right? How many of men have ever said, oh, let's go home and go bake some cookies? I mean, it's sickening, isn't it? It's gross. Amen. So Hallmark, these movies, is basically there's a rebirthing of the joy of Christmas. They lost it in their busyness and their activities and their careers. And then what happens by the end of the movie? Woo! They got the joy. They discovered the meaning of Christmas, right? And so that's what we have discovered as believers today, that we need to be rebirthed if you don't have that joy in your heart this season. I don't know what has come into your life. I don't know what you've been through and what you're going through presently, but joy is part of the season. It is is part of who Jesus Christ is. So it boils down to this: if you lack joy, and I hate to say this, you lack Jesus. Amen. Jesus and joy are connected. Yes. You remember when you got saved? The joy that filled your heart? Life has a way of knocking the wind out of us. But how many know when you get the wind knocked out of you, you eventually catch your wind back? You catch your breath back, right? I had the wind knocked out of me a few times. And you just gasp until finally you start breathing again. And I don't know what maybe has knocked the joy out of you, but you need to start breathing again. You need to allow the Spirit to breathe fresh upon you this morning once again. The Lord is my shepherd, right? And sometimes he leads us down some dark places. But the truth is, he never forsakes us or leaves us there. He is the great shepherd, the good shepherd. So, Jesus is the cause of great joy for all people. So, the first letter of my message here is J. It's Jesus. That's what Christmas is about. The second letter is O, which is others. There's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody get a hold of the truth about Jesus Christ, isn't it? I hope that's true. I mean, it was true for us, and I hope it's true when you see other people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think there's a scripture we don't give enough credit to, and that is in Luke chapter 15. And they refer to this as the lost chapter. In this chapter, you see three things being lost. You see the lost coin, you see the lost sheep, and you see the lost son, which we usually refer to as the prodigal son. So when the sheep, coin, and son were found, there was great joy. There was rejoicing. This is a parable, but Jesus is driving home a point here for us. So Jesus emphasized that when one sinner, it doesn't say a multitude, it doesn't talk about a family, it says if one individual, one sinner repents and decides to follow him, there is a party in heaven. Do you understand that? There is great rejoicing in heaven. So let me read verse 7 of chapter 15. It says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in the heaven over one sinner than who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not repent. So guess what? You're old news. If you're saved here today, you are old news. But what is more exciting in heaven is the individual that says yes for the first time. Hallelujah. It's not that he doesn't rejoice over you, because the Bible says he sings over you, right? He rejoices over you. He doesn't. You're not old to him. You're not old news. But it's more exciting to have more people join the party. Amen? Verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So all heaven is rejoicing. The angels who have never experienced redemption, who have never experienced sin, are rejoicing over the fact that one day we will be like them. And we won't have to fight sin. We won't be sick anymore. That's good news, by the way. All right? You're kind of looking at me, what? That's the good news. So these are old statistics, but I just want to kind of give you something here to think on and chew on. Because we're looking at Luke chapter 15 here. I looked up how many people are being saved on a daily basis. Now let me just give you some figures, and there's no way to calculate this, right? And I'm just going to throw it out there. Every day, one source says, the average number of people added to the body of Christ worldwide averages 174,000 a day. 3,500 new churches are opening every week worldwide. Sounds pretty good. A second source says about 25 million people accept Jesus as their Savior every day. So that means around 68,500 people are born again every day worldwide. So we got two extreme numbers here. So what I did was I combined them and took an average. So maybe in between there, maybe there's, we're closer. But just think about what I'm saying here. So let's take an average of 174,000 and 68,500. And the average of that is 121,250 people being saved every day around the world. That sounds pretty incredible, doesn't it? So divide that by the minutes in a day, which is 1,440. So that means that there are being people, 84 people being saved per minute. Sounds cool. So divide by seconds in a minute, and so that comes down to 1.4 per second. I don't know who the 4.4 is, but think about it here. So think about it. So every second of the day, somebody is getting saved. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So an endless party of celebration. It says all heaven is rejoicing when one sinner repents. So just think about what heaven's like. It is a continuous celebration. There is no downtime. It is every second of every minute of every hour of every day, people are getting sick. That's exciting. Man, you guys are dead. I don't know about you. So it is an endless party of celebration and joy in heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done for all people. All people. Hallelujah. That's exciting stuff. Amen. Tim, that's good. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. So what does that say about the joy that is in us, right? I think we need to kick it in gear a little bit and celebrate, right? And today we're celebrating with a number of people today that they necessarily didn't get saved recently, but they have chosen to follow Jesus and baptism to express the fact that I am a believer in Jesus Christ. So we're going to celebrate that today. Amen. And we're going to be happy for them. We're going to have joy for them. And number three, and I need someone to go tell Donna. The why is you, okay? So now it's time to make it a little personal here this morning. So how are you feeling about your salvation today, right now? Do you remember when you got saved? Do you? The joy that encompassed your heart, your life at that moment in time? You know, some of us have lost that. And I think we need to pray Psalm 51, just like David said, you know, when he said, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me, right? And restore unto me what? The joy of my salvation, right? Hallelujah. Some of us need that joy restored in our relationship with God. Some of us need that joy, that baptism of joy in our lives once again. Luke chapter 10, verse 20 says, however, Jesus kind of told his disciples who came back from ministry, and they were talking about the miracles they did. They were talking about the demons they were casting out. And Jesus had a word of advice for them. And this is what he told them. For us that get caught up in the busyness of ministry and thinking it's about works and we got to do this and got to do this, Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10, verse 20, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Let me just say that people are healed, that your church is growing, or whatever's happening, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. Woo! Because he said one day there's going to be those who say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? And he's going to say, I don't know you. The name worked, but it didn't work for them. Revelation 21, verse 26 to 27 says, the glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. And it's talking about the New Jerusalem. Nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And I hope this morning that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, because that is the registry. That is the pre-registration. So when you get to heaven, they're going to say, is your name in the book? I hope your name is in the book. And the only way your name gets in the book is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we have something to rejoice about, do we not?
Yes.
We do.
Amen.
And this hymn popped into my mind. You know what I think about hymns. I share that. We are on our way to heaven. You remember that hymn? Shouting glory. It's not in our brown hymn book. I tried to look it up. Shame on them. It's a good one. The chorus goes, oh glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way to heaven. Shouting glory. Shouting glory. Oh glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way to heaven. Shouting glory all the way. And these are some of the verses, okay? And again, you know what my view of some of these hymns are, all right? Some of them are kind of self-centered and they're all about what we get out of it. So it says, I'm on my way to heaven where the saints are robed in white, to that blessed land immortal where you can never comes the night. Verse 2. I'm skipping a line there for you, trying to read that. Do I have this song up there? I didn't put it on this. Okay. I'm on my way to heaven where the streets are paved with gold, to the place of many mansions and the glories yet untold. All right. I'm on my way to heaven, blessed land of pure delight, where the blessed of every nation and forever clothed in white. But this is the verse. And it's the last verse. I think it should have been the first verse. I'm on my way to heaven where I'll see my Savior's face. There I'll sing redemption's story, blessed song of saving grace. Yes. Hallelujah. Shouting glory all the way. Amen. That's what it's about. It's what it's about. I mean, we could talk about the mansions. We could talk about the gold streets, the tree of life. We could talk about all the good things we're going to experience up there. But I hope your eyes are ready to look upon the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who saved us by his grace. Amen. What a day that's going to be, right? We sing that song, what a day that will be. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be reminded of some of those songs, don't we? You know, we focus so much here on the earth that we kind of lose our desire to go to heaven. But, hey, while we're here, let's experience some joy in our lives. So today we're going to celebrate with those that are choosing to be baptized today because they're doing it out of obedience to his word. He said to what? Baptize in thy name, right? Baptize in my name. And so after we're saved, the first commandment we're given is to be baptized. And so those that are being baptized, if you will come, we'll have you sit on the front row here. Get ready to baptize them, and I hope you stick around to watch them be baptized, and we're going to pray over each one if you would join us as we will pray over them. We know that water baptism is not salvation. We understand that. It is not church membership. It may express the church membership that we have in the kingdom of God, but it doesn't mean you're a member of this church. It is symbolic of what has taken place on the inside, according to Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And we're not going to read that here today. We've been talking about them. Donna's been ministering to the kids for a couple weeks now, making sure that they're ready. And you guys are ready, right? All right. Okay, even our adults are ready. Hallelujah. So we understand that baptism is a representation, it is a symbolic of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It represents the gift of new life that we have experienced, that we have become new creatures in Christ. The old life is crucified, and now we have power over sin. We are no longer slaves of sin, but we now have the choice to sin or not. How many know that? Amen. So if you sin after being saved, guess what? You chose to sin. The power of sin has been broken over our life. Death no longer has power over us, and we can live for the glory of God through Jesus Christ. So, as we bring each candidate up, we will ask the question if they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if they so choose and want to share a word, a testimony, something, they're welcome to do that. And we're going to baptize them, get them all wet, right? No Achilles heels, right? We're not going to dip them in, right? We're dipping them all the way so the devil has no place. And we're going to pray over them. And so when we pray, again, I just encourage you to pray with us as we bless them in the name of the Lord. Amen. So I need some help. I need that chair up there for the ladies to get their shoes on. If I can have someone help them up on this side, some of our ladies, and we need someone to take them through the passageway. We want them to get there safe, right? So if we can. All right. So if we can have two. Maybe ladies escort the ladies. Are going to go clear across the building and into the upper bathroom. So if we could have a couple ladies, once they're wet, meet them over there and make sure they're safe. Okay? All right. Are you ready? All right. Do you have joy this morning?
Yes.
All right. All right. And we will have your picture taken, too, as beautiful as you will be, soap and wet, right? Beautiful as that can be. All right. Thank you for coming and celebrating with them.